When it comes to EVE Online, every player wants to know the most effective tactic available. You want to know the meta. The meta controls everything. It determines what will and will not happen. Knowing the meta will alter your views, make you question your reality. It might even make you laugh. And now, you're part of it. You're watching The Meta Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special 420 edition of The Meta Show. I'm Brisk Rubal, joined alongside our boy, Alterari Phoenix, who will be our guest co-host of the week. I should probably fix his camera so that he's all the way in it, in the frame. Alterari, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
Doing well.
So, for those of you who are unaware, today is a very important day. It is, not only is it 420, not only are we in the middle of EVE New Orleans, not only is it a day after my niece's 7th birthday, which is why I'm wearing a pink shirt, because I came from a girl's birthday party. It also happens to be a very special birthday today. The most famous birthday of all birthdays. That's right. My cat, Archie, is 5 years old today. Happy birthday, Archie. Now, last week, I was not here. The week before that, I was not here. What happened? Dave Archer was here. And I understand from having watched last week's show that there were missing posters up for me. I don't know where he is. He ran off. I don't know where the fluff is. There were missing posters up for me last week because I was not available. I was not around. But I'm here, tanned, rested, ready. We're going to have a good time because we got some stuff to talk about this week. Not the least of which is the fact that we're starting to see some pretty significant fights. Oh, by the way, before we get to the significant fights and Alterari and I have a good time chatting, I would like to say thank you, a very big thank you to my boy Dave Archer, who handled not one but two meta shows in a row last week and the week before. Alterari's first appearance on the meta show was 2 weeks ago with our boy Dave. So thank you for handling that, Dave. I very much appreciate it. As everybody knows, we are in the process of trying to find a new co-host because our boy Mark Resurrectus had decided that he's going to go work for CCP. So having folks like Dave, who has been doing Yama's work for us, trying to fill in not only in front of the camera, but also behind the scenes and working on a lot of the production side of things with us, has been very helpful. And now I've got Alterari here because he was the first person that I was going to suggest that we put on as a guest co-host, because I've been trying to cycle through some of the names of the more famous people in Goons that we have not put on the show, and he was at the top of the list. So welcome. It's about time I get a chance to actually have a chat with you on a show.
Yeah, it's been a busy couple weeks. I'm happy to be here, happy to chat.
So obviously, our numbers are down a little bit. Why? Because Anger Games, the sixth Anger Games are on right now. So a lot of our friends are over watching some actual EVE online tournament stuff from Goonswarm, because Anger Games was put together by our boys back in the day and has been one of the big things for Dave and a couple of the other folks that are usually on the Push to Talk show earlier. Sothrasil and Dirk Statile and those guys have put those together. And we're very pleased that Anger Games is going on right now. We're very pleased it's at a big deal and that CCP is paying attention to it. So when you're done with this show, we're going to hop over and watch whatever's left of the Anger Games over on the CCP channel. Drops are on for them and for us, so stick around, and we're going to talk about a lot of fun things. And Pollux brings this up, and at some point, Alterari, we got to get into this, okay? Because as someone who was an FC for Goonswarm, left Goonswarm to go to Horde, FC'd for Horde, then left Horde to come back to Goonswarm, you've got some good stories, I'm sure.
I've got some stories, yeah. There's
I think we're going to talk about some of those. Hopefully today we'll get
I'd just like to shout out to Rudy. Hello, Rudy. And no, I don't have a face tattoo.
No face tattoo.
No.
Now.
Neck tattoo coming soon, though.
What are you getting?
I'm getting tree branches all the way up to the underside of my jaw.
Tree branches. Okay, there you go. Well, it'll get covered by the goatee, right?
So no, kind of. You'll be able to see it because it's wrapping around the back of my neck. But I'm covered in tattoos all the way up, and then my back is covered, and then my chest is also done. So
there you go. No teardrops. You're not going to do any of those. You know.
Nah, I'm not one for face tattoos. My field of work allows that, but it's not one for me.
It's one of the joys of having a real job, where they don't care what you look like, and you don't have to wear a tie, which is nice. And one of the benefits of doing a fireside edition of the MetaShift today, which is what we're going to be doing, is I don't have to wear a tie either. So, hey, this is great. All right. So
I don't think I own a tie.
You don't own a tie?
I don't think I do.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I have plenty that I can lend you.
Okay.
We're going to head into our top story. A top story this week has been basically the back and forth fights between us and Horde. And by us, I mean the Imperium and Innit and Friends versus Horde and their hired guns. We've been having a lot of fights. There have been multiple big tie-dye fights. There was one earlier today we're going to talk about. There was one on Thursday we're going to talk about. And this has been the state of NullSec, at least for the past couple of weeks, where we simply have these random stick-up fights that are kind of a thing. So our top story this week is random fighting.
There's a lot of it.
So the random fighting that started, the first big fight of this week was Thursday. Okay. As you see on the screen here, we had this was in GTECO and Curse. This was a fight on the armor timer of an Innit Fortizar. And we saw pretty significant numbers, and given the time frame, it started late. I'd say mid EU time zone, and went all the way down to late that night. I guess we fought for a good 3 or 4 hours before things kind of got where they were supposed to go. Altair, you were not in this fight, is that right?
I was not. I was at work.
Okay. So I was actually in this fight, and it's funny because it's been a while. I don't get a chance to do these big mid-afternoon fights the way that I used to, and being able to do it was nice. Going out, and I got to get your camera fixed here also, making it wider and weirder and not doing the right thing. Being able to get into one of these fights was really fun because I had not been able to do that in a long time. And being able to jump into one of these fights, and not only did I jump into the fight, I was able to live and go the entire time. Why is it? Yeah, this thing is kind of a funky battle report. Let me move the PL guys where they go over here. There you go. All right. The bottom line was this was one of these fights where I felt like everything kind of clicked for the Imperium. We got everything that we needed on grid. We had our new Raven Navy issues were on grid fighting. We had a ton of solid fleets coming out of Goons as well as Innit. We were in Rokes. It was exciting, I thought, because I had not flown, we hadn't done super trains in a while, at least I didn't realize that there was a Raven Navy fleet out there. Otherwise, I would have flown in that. But we were able to get out there. We were able to basically shred the Ferox Navy issue fleet that Horde put out. And I guess is that a newer thing for them? I don't seem to recall seeing these guys flying Ferox Navies that often.
To my recollection, they've had them for 6 months, 8 months now. They're mainly used as home defense doctrines in drones against Arcadius because he likes to go for exercise runs to drones. I haven't seen them used outside of drones and in war theater up until this fight.
So you've got, essentially, they brought more than a full fleet worth of Ferox Navies, and those Ferox Navies got completely obliterated. 290 of the 298 that they brought died, which was kind of crazy.
Yes, I did clean my desk for this, by the way.
I was about to say, just for those of you who are asking, yes, he did. We talked about it earlier. He cleaned his desk. The Rogues, I mean, the Ravens, our Ravens got hit pretty hard similarly. And I know this was, I believe the Innit fleet was in the Ravens because we were in Raven Navies. They got hit pretty hard. Our Rogue fleet did okay. And a number of the other, obviously, some of the other ships that were there, your random purifiers that were doing bombing runs and those types of things, harpies, assault frigates that were killing off smalls, all of that stuff was great. And the fact was, not only were we able to take the fight, we won the fight, we won the battle report. Horde and the guys ran off when as soon as the number started generating in our favor, and then of course the Fortizar managed to repair, which was great. Now, what was not so great was what happened today. We had the exact opposite outcome than what happened yesterday. We had this outcome. So this fight literally stopped about 2 hours ago. This was in UTEC, Hue, and Ketch. And it started out similarly, where you had two big subcap fleets with Goons and Innit and Horde and Fraternity. Horde was able to outform us this time, but they did something that they didn't do in the last fight, and that was, look at all those dreads. Salter, you were there. You were on the grid for this. Can you tell me what happened in this fight and why it went south the way that it did comparatively?
I could speculate. I can't really say exactly what went wrong top down. Initially, where we took the engagement, we ended up repositioning. Our faxes were dying to their long-range tracking dreads that they dropped on the Fortizar. When we repositioned, half of our Raven fleet got bubbled. I think it was half, something like that. Obviously, being bubbled now out of position as we reposition is disadvantageous for us. Yep. And at that point, we pretty much decided to extract and fed pretty hard tactically on the way out.
And I noticed that you died, and of course that resulted in a Gobbins morale ping of -1 Alterari.
It absolutely did.
That's very
exciting.
Do you
have the ping?
Yeah, let me see if I can put it up on here on the screen for a second. Where is it? Let me grab it here.
Before I even died,
he pinged it out. Boom. There it is. -1 Alterari. And he sent this photograph, so this screenshot with it, which is funny because exactly like you weren't even dead yet. Your minnow was dying, yep. But you were not dead yet.
I was almost there.
You're almost there.
I was busy saving Weasel on his way out.
That's it. So today they took the fight, and obviously they escalated with dreads, which, I mean, long-range dreads in a situation like that, when you've got multiple battleship fleets on grid, that's a hard counter.
Yeah.
And they're going to shred, and they did. And good on them for doing it, and good on them for making, you know, putting the stuff in place. I have to say, I do prefer the Thursday fight, not simply because we won, but because we didn't have to escalate. Neither side really escalated. There were a couple of dreads on grid, but they were not something that was brought out as a means of dumpstering the other side. The Ravens and the Rogues did that. I appreciated that fight because I had not seen a good fight like that in a while. And in fact, not only was it a cool fight, but we also got video of it. This is from CCP Zealous's Twitter page. This is from the Thursday night fight. Live shot. Well, it was live at the time, but some good shots. He added the audio, but I figured we watch this because this was pretty cool. There you go. Innit Tempests. Big Tempest fleets. In the front there. We'll be right back. killed him at the end of the fight.
This is kind of cool. I know the audio. Yes, I'm talking.
That, I think, was the end of the fight when we killed Haunting Deity and his monitor at the very end. So anyway, thank you to CCP Zealous for that from his Twitter feed. That was cool. I like I said, that was a good fight. I wish we had good video of the fight from earlier today, right? Now, back to the fight from today. Obviously, the numbers were way different, and you know, we got hit way harder. 293 billion lost to 59, 60 billion. The numbers on the Thursday night fight were a little closer, but that was largely because they went after a ton of the init faxes died. You saw 13 apostles here, as I noted, and an Inazu died in this fight, and that kind of chunked up this battle report, where it probably would have been a little bit leaner. And then I understand at the same time that this was happening, another fleet from Fraternity got caught in HiSec. So, yeah.
Wait, I didn't hear about this one.
This was good. They were on their way trying to get there, and it got busted by the crew, and I was very amused by that.
Beautiful.
Which is nice. Which is always nice. So, the fighting has really been, like I said before, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago when I was last on the Meta Show, the fighting has been back and forth, but none of it seems to be really about anything other than fights. Is that how you're taking this, Alterari? Because, I mean, I don't see the strategic value in anything that the Horde guys really are doing right now.
Yes and no. Everyone is anticipating the NullSec patch coming this summer. So it's hard to justify putting massive resources towards strategic objectives that might not be strategic in 6 months. So I think that's lot of fair. It's chasing content. And I know more specifically BFL and Horde are chasing content just the same way that Arcadius and I am. The Abazon fights, there's been a couple of them, two or three of them that have been going after a strategic Fortizar that we are willing to nut up for. But
it's the Abazon one,
it's few and far between that we're going to be going for strategic objectives, at least in my perspective, over the next couple months while we wait on these NullSec patches.
Robbie says none of it seems to be about anything. Yes, it's Eve. No, but this Eve is one of these games where you can, unless it is some kind of low sec small gang nonsense that's just fights for the sake of fights. These big fights over structures, these big fights that we tend to put together, like the one this morning, they tend to be like you want. There's a narrative. You can say, all right, we're here because they're here doing X, and we want to stop them from doing X, or they're here doing Y, and we're going to come in and third party while they're doing it, or something like that. But right now, like, and we called this show, I guess, 3 weeks ago, like the state of the Cold War. And that's kind of what we're in right now. All of these seem to be like random proxy fights in low sec or in random, like Curse is a perfect example. GTECO and Curse is a system that is linked directly to Zarzak. And as a result, it's very easy for everybody to get to it.
I just sent you a link to a battle report that ended. No, it does. I think it just ended, but a random fight in Providence. Thanks, Dave.
There you go. Thank you, Dave. Random fights in Providence.
I don't know what this was over. Arcadios brought goons to it. There's Synergy of Steel, Mimitar Fleet, CBA, Red Alliance.
Got dumpstered pretty bad. That's wow.
I think a lot of the next couple of weeks, months is going to be fights for the sake
These
of fights.
Types of fights. Fights for the sake of fights. Yeah, they lost a ton of dreads. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, honestly, these fights are more fun than strategic fights.
Well, I have to say, they're fun There we go. Inception screen. They're fun for a reason. Like, it's very easy and very, I think, fun for the average, not just for the line members, because we'll take any fight, any line member. And I keep talking like I'm a line member, even though I'm not anymore. Like, taking, like, just getting into a fleet and shooting somebody is fun regardless of what's on the line. But for the FCs and for the senior leadership people, I think these types of fights are so much easier to take because you don't have all of the pressure on your head. Like, this is a strategic fight. We got to win this fight. If we lose this fight, it's going to cause all kinds of downstream problems. Like, every fight during the Great War, during Vietnam, was rough.
Yeah.
Because losing that had a major impact on everything else around you. So you had to fight it out and had to do it. These types of fights, the only person that has to do any work when this fight is over is the guys handling the SRP, and that's it.
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes it a lot of fun, because we don't have any skin in the game, so we can go in or not. And most of the time we are going to go in because it's fun.
Right. Now, Horde obviously does not always do that because they absolutely hate losing battle reports, which I think is just amusing to me. But that leads me into my next area of conversation, because I want to go into this, because you've been on the show now twice. I don't recall how much we went into your personal history in the last show, but I want to talk a little bit about that, because it's rare. I think it's relatively rare to see an FC that's been around the block a few times who has left Goons and then come back and has the ability to say, all right, this is what it was like when I was over there. This is what it's like while I'm here. So tell me the story. Like, you started FCing and then you left. And I mean, tell me what happened with this.
I started FCing, I guess I've been playing Eve for almost 20 years, been in the Imperium for 15 or 16 years. And I started like majorly FCing, doing a lot of FC work during World War B. I would say I was averaging 700 or 800 FC PAPs a month during World War B2, and busted my ass, started just doing everything I can, every opportunity. Sorry, I was reading comment. Working my way up under Adge and Kosacek. And then come the end of the war, things have settled down. We're skirmishing and brawling in the southeast, Faith Ballas, Esoteria, Keep the Faith, that kind of stuff. And I got burned out pretty hard, and I went over to Horde for 9 months to a year. Shout out to Busa, Dexter, and all them. They were really good people. They took really good care of me. Hung out with them for a while. I obviously was relaying pings and stuff and BFL and all the Horde stuff, doing the quote spy stuff, and then returned back to Goons and just picked back up where I left off.
What was the difference internally as an FC for them versus being an FC here?
The lack of structure over there at the lower levels was something that really was not cool. Like, it didn't vibe with me. Whereas we have a lot of structure over here. There's layers upon layers of structure, lots of leadership, lots of organization, lots of people that are involved in decision-making. They don't. The experience that I gained over there and the knowledge of how things work definitely gives me some good insight to how to operate for us.
So you learn a lot of what not to do over there.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. There you go.
Right. Yeah, and there's been a couple of times where it's like, I'm in command with Asher, and it's like, well, this is how they traditionally have done things. I don't know if they've changed it, but this is my experience, and it's actually worked out quite well for us.
So at what point did you start living rent-free in Gobbin's head, like where he sends out pings specifically that he killed you?
I think after I left Horde.
was that one of those things where he felt like you backstabbed him, or that, you know, you were a spy the whole time, or is that what he thinks? So, all right, okay.
I believe so. It's hard to say.
What kind of relationship did you have with him while you were?
We talked every day. There was not a day that we didn't talk.
Interesting.
It was. He gave a lot of support to his FCs. And that's one thing I will give them credit for. He gives a lot of support to the FCs, and internally as an organization, they give a lot of support to the people that are up and coming. We as well, but he directly interfaces with all of them.
Now, have you noticed the last couple of months that it seems like he's been less active? Is that fair to say, or do you think he's still as active as he's been?
I wouldn't know because I'm not obviously over there, but from what I can see in pings and stuff, it seems like he's equally active. I've seen him on fleets a couple of times. I've seen him out there. I do know that his pings are very funny from the FC perspective. One moment, I gotta go put a hat on real quick.
While Altararia is going and getting this hat, which we talked about before, I have to say, like, we always tease. We tease Gobbins and the other folks quite a bit about the morale pings. And I have to say, like, I like it when we have a big fight like we did Thursday night, because I know at the very least that I'm going to get a good Gobbins morale ping, because it'll always be the good, great form up. We did everything right. Sometimes things just don't go our way, or they outformed us, or they had more guys. The latest Gobbins narrative. I love that. Only dad's.
There you go. My only dad's hat.
Only dad's hat. The latest narrative from Gobbins that we have been hearing, and I think it's funny, is goons can't take an even fight unless Innit is there to save our asses. Which I have to say, I appreciate, as a former Innit member, I very much appreciate the fact that Innit is holding goons up, according to Gobbins, which I think is another one of these funny attempts to split us and them up, as has been the goal of PandaFam for years. It made me like.
I
had to laugh.
I think it's funny because, I mean, we took the Bazon fight in LoSec. We had initiative retributions. They were not there to hold our hand. They had Big Ab. We had Snuffed. It was pretty even on both sides, and we ended up winning because Snuffed came in with a hammer. But I can see why he says that, because there has been a couple of times that Innit and us have absolutely massacred together. And then the following fight, we got our ass handed to us. But that's part of this game. We're going to get our ass handed to us, and we're going to go back and forth, and it's going to be cat and mouse until strategic objectives are important.
Right. And that is not going to be, again, as we noted, until we get whatever these changes are going to be to NullSec. Now, we've seen there has been a lot of talk around what the NullSec changes are going to be. We've seen right now there's a scope video that just came out that I'll play for you guys in a little while that talks about this new upwell structure that's being built in LoSec. And there's also been talk about rumors of other things that are happening. I keep seeing people talking, and I just want to put this to bed as much as I can. I keep seeing people talking about a planetary interaction, about a PI rework. Okay. Guys, I'm not on the CSM anymore. Okay. If they were working on a PI rework, I probably would have heard about it. The only thing mentioning PI at all was a Wally Martz Ruse Cruise post on Reddit like 2 months ago that so many people apparently bid on that I keep hearing constantly about a PI rework. And I just have to say, as far as I know, guys, there's no PI rework. This is not even a rumor. It's not even a rumor.
I love Wally posts. He is so good at writing posts.
He is good. And the best, like, Wally and Seema both do this. Wally is worse at it. And I don't mean worse as in not as good. He's worse because the stuff that he writes is just plausible enough that he gets people and they bite really hard. And I have to give him credit. I have not seen anybody bite harder on a Wally post than all these people that keep bringing up that there's potential like discussion of a PRI rework. Guys, as far as I'm aware, there's no PI rework. So kick that out of your head. What they're working on, as far as I know, is what Altararia and I mentioned earlier, which is potential changes to NullSec and how SOV works. And that's going to be the big thing. Do you have any speculation, Altararia, on what you think might be in the SOV rework? What do you think they might be doing?
I think the faction warfare and the way they had that set up is going to be at least a foundation for it. I'm not heavily into faction warfare, but I think that that's going to be a foundation that they're going to use and expand on. There's so many things that they could do with the NullSec Sov that it's really hard to speculate because CCP always comes out of left field with it. So I don't have any experience on the CSM. I just hope that whatever changes they make it fun to fight for Sov again.
And I think that's what we're all hoping for, because that's really the goal. I mean, we really want to make sure that there will be something fun that'll happen with Sov. We call it Fozzy Sov. I feel bad. It's not really Fozzy Sov. It's the current Entosis Warfare fights right now, which I never understood why you would develop a small gang style approach, spreading out the fighting into these small little fights overall to take Sov when it's the big groups that are fighting. Vartharian, that is exactly what I was about to say. Ankh said yesterday he reckons a faction warfare frontline style system for Sov. That is what I expect. And I would not argue against that. I would not argue against that, because I think that's exactly what we would expect. They spend all this time putting together the faction warfare system. It worked pretty well. People seem to like it. So why would they not want to take what they did there and expand it around so it becomes a thing? And I mean, Pandemic, I really hope you're right. The time zone tanking goes away completely. That would be the best possible outcome for this, because that, I think, Ria, and we've talked about this before on the show, that is what I think is what's frustrating beyond belief, is the most powerful weapon against any group or in favor of any group is being able to outform in a specific time zone. Like knowing in it is going to bring a ton of people in EU time zone, knowing that China time zone is dominated by fraternity. That's it.
And I think that's one thing that I think everyone is hoping for is changing time zone tanking to make it at least somewhat active would be at least a good start in the right direction. Like with POSs and Dominion Sov, you had to be there to adjust the Stront timers on POSs. You have to have someone paying attention, otherwise it will roll against you. I think the timers being set to a definitive time zone is quite frankly bullshit. Makes it hard for off time zone groups to take over, and when they do take over, it makes it hard to get it back. So it makes the cat and fight or the cat and mouse fight back and forth very hard to, I guess, generate fights. And then I think that Ansiblexes and their power projection are also problematic for these kinds of fights, because I shouldn't be able to go to the other side of the game in 16 jumps, but here I am and able to do that with a full
Yes,
fleet.
you should. That's perfectly fine. There will be no Ansiblex heresy on this show while I'm here.
I personally think that being able to project that hard and that far is not okay, but to each their own
It's
opinion.
fine. It's fine. There's no reason for. I mean, Heidi says Zarzak. That's the problem. I mean, I think the fight that we had Thursday night is a perfect example of how Zarzak works. Like, you had the ability to get everybody there, and I think the reason why it was just a non-cap fight, why it was just subcaps, was because everybody was not close to their staging. But at least Fraternity's 2 jumps away through Zarzak, we were able to get a battleship fleet there in a reasonable amount of time. It's fine. The subcaps being able to move around and get to the fight is, I think, is okay, because again, the big fights are going to happen. The big fights are going to need cap support. They're going to need super cap support eventually. So you're not going to be able to do. You can't project power, like legit power projection, without the super cap umbrella, and you can't do that unless you can move it there, and it's a giant pain in the ass. Which is why, even with Ansiblexes, we're not going to go and fight in the drone regions and try to take that space from Horde, because it doesn't make any sense. And vice versa. They tried to come down to Delve. It took them the better part of a year to clear us out. And then we kind of turtled up in the final 3 or 4 systems, one constellation, and they couldn't break us. And that's the nature of the game. And around that, the only thing that I think that would have an impact that would be able to fix that is if there was something in regards to the time zone tanking stuff that would make that less of a benefit to defenders. And to attack. I mean, Slushy was saying that it goes both ways, so it's not really a thing. But the reality is, it does go both ways, but the result is no fights. As Futility said, the big fights aren't happening, and that's the result of time zone tanking. Less that you can't do it. It's just people don't have the fights. And that I don't like. I would rather err on the side of getting fights and getting content than content denial, which drives me absolutely crazy because it's boring as fuck. I have a all right. So this is we talked about earlier. This is from SEMA. A graphic displaying what Gobbins thinks is happening every time we fight now. Dark Shines in it, holding up Goons and Dracarys in catch.
I love that picture.
This is what he thinks is happening. Shiny boy, there you go. You and your six-pack abs holding us up completely. While doing a split. Anyway.
That is Dark Shines.
That's our boy Shines. The E-Face is Dark Shines. That's the leader of it. I appreciate that very much. All right. I want to show... So, there's been a lot of talk about the scope video. It does need a beard. That is true. The scope video that came out has a number of little things that I think are kind of leaning us towards what's going on in the game and what we can expect to see, at least in the short term. Obviously, the July expansion that was announced is coming. It is April, May, June, July, which means probably right, at least at this point, all of the stuff that's going to be in the July expansion has been locked down, and CCP has finished the plans on it, and they're just in the process of starting to crunch the numbers and do the dev work on it. All the game design has been done, but the development stuff needs to get done. So I'm assuming that the things we're seeing in the scope videos are the teasers that are going to get us towards where we are in July. Phoenix, Altero, you haven't seen this yet, have you?
I have not looked at this. I've been linked it multiple times. I've said I'm going to watch it, and I guess this is my time to watch it.
All right, so here, we're going to sit here. I'm going to mute our audio and just play the scope video, and then we'll talk a little bit about it when it gets done.
Details of various Upwell Consortium projects have been slowly surfacing over the past few weeks, and today the Scope received this footage from an undisclosed source. It shows some sort of industrial or transport ship under construction in an unknown Outer Ring excavation facility. The ship seems to be considerably smaller than the Orca-class industrial command ships also manufactured by Orr, but its overall layout is undeniably similar. The exact role and specification of this new class of ship is still unknown. Earlier this week, Capsuleers recovered a number of partially corrupted Chris ships following the tracking and interception of secretive deep space transactions between Orr and Chemeltech, both key players in the Upwell Consortium. After defragmenting these corrupted Chris ships, Capsuleers have managed to reconstruct another potentially crucial Upwell document. There is much speculation as to whether the hologram in the document is part of a structure, a ship, module, or something else. Construction activities by Upwell are escalating rapidly in low orbit over the planet Avakan 6. With substantial assistance from Capsuleers in gathering drone-related materials, the pace of construction has intensified. The purpose of these materials remains undisclosed, however. Previous Chris ships secured by Capsuleers include a tractor beam schematic boasting an impressive range of 300 kilometers, aligning with the requested drone materials. Pressure is mounting on Upwell to disclose the full scope of this ambitious project, which appears to encompass orbital structures, advanced ship technologies, and some sort of mass cloning or rejuvenation facilities. Upwell has indicated that they will release a comprehensive statement in the coming days that will shed light on these developments. Rest assured, the Scope will continue to monitor and report on these and other significant events unfolding across New Eden. This is Alton Hovery reporting for the Scope.
So, that's the Scope video. Now, I don't... I don't know what the need, like, again, one of these things, who asked for this type thing, but a baby orca, why?
That's, I don't crab hardly ever, and if I do, it's in crab quills and 1DQ. Like, that's, and I think we need more diverse combat ships, but I also, I'm speaking from an FC perspective, not from someone who crabs constantly. Mm-hmm. I don't right, see a purpose like
that,
for it.
That's the whole thing, and yeah. Is there a purpose? No, there's a porpoise. We have a porpoise. That's a salvage ship. We have gas ships that are designed for gas ships. I don't understand a smaller orca. Why?
I don't
for
get
high-sec
it.
Mining? I mean, what niche needed to be filled by a new ore ship? I don't know.
I'm just waiting for my stand-up upwell tractor beam so I can tractor cap bricks in a Bazon.
Asmo says it might be able to do moon compression. Well, why would we need that? You can already do moon compression with a Rourke. You can do it with an Orca. I don't understand. There's no mining command frigate. Robbie gas makes a point that maybe I could see maybe a gas thing. That could be it. I like the Q ship idea. That sounds pretty cool to me. Like, I like the idea of a Q ship. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with what a Q ship is, during the First and Second World Wars, merchant ships were frequently torpedoed by submarines. And one of the ways to fight back against a submarine threat were Q ships. These were ships that were designed to look like merchant ships, but were armed to the teeth with anti-submarine technology. And the submarine would take a risk, go through and decide whether they were going to try to attack it or not. They would go, they said, maybe it's a Q ship, maybe it's not. They would go out, they'd fight, and they would get dumpstered because the ship had a ton of anti-submarine stuff on it. They're great. They were very useful. It always made it risky and helped to deter some of these big submarine fights. So the idea of a battle barge like a Mackinac or some of the other ships we've seen, I've taken out Battle Ventures. Other people have taken out, you know, like ships that are designed. They're industrial type ships, but they end up having some kind of either drones or some other way of fighting back, which is cool. That's it.
I see Floof, and you don't show us the Floof.
He ran off. Sad. He came in here and he came in here to look at me, and then he ran off. So no trip today, and I still don't know where the cat went. Nazer, Mitani's retired. He's off the show. He's enjoying a life free from EVE Online up in Michigan. So we wish him well, but he's not around anymore. So yeah, the Q ship was more a World War One thing. Yes, that is true. They did have them during the Second World War, but I mean it was a World War One thing more than anything. And that's most of the German subs that got killed back then were by Q ships that happened.
I was just thinking what Heidi was saying. I think they're just giving Slice another ship for their procure doctrine.
Is that it? That's exactly
I think that's what there this is. Go. This is Slice purely to give Slice another ship for their doctrine.
I mean, I the whole concept of it is fine. And then we'll see what it turns into. I just don't know if we needed another mining ship.
I think all of that stuff is
kind of fit.
I think we need to, the meta in Nullsec is, it's an interesting one. It's battleships now. It's significantly better from
that.
The hack.
I very much appreciate that. Yeah, I will fly a battleship any day of the week instead of a hack.
I 100% agree. I think a little variety would never hurt, but I think that another mining ship isn't going to do anything interesting for the game. There's a lot of stagnation, and I think that is attributed to a lot of facets, including the upcoming patch change. But I think there needs to be more shakeups. The Sonrier, I swear, no. Dread mining ships. We already have one of those.
Do we need dread mining? We already have those. I mean, come on. You just throw some miners on your rev and go out, you know?
Give us, like, Stormbringers, but Dreadnought class. That would be A, server crashing, and B, really cool.
Veldnauts for everyone. There you go. The Veldnaut. I appreciate it. Kriba is pleased we're talking about his favorite thing. So... The other thing that they mention is the new upwell structure. They're talking about having a tractor beam. That's kind of cool. I don't know if that will be a structure or if that'll be a module or what. I kind of like the idea, like a tractor beam where like a Keepstar can grab somebody and bring them in closer. That's kind of cool. I appreciate something like that.
That would be cool to drag Titans into the center of a Keepstar and DD.
Right? Like, exactly. I think that would be kind of cool. And that would make being on the grids a little more interesting. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think it would give Upwell Structures a unique, I guess, gameplay.
Right.
I just want an Upwell Tractor Beam that can bring Rex in so I can loot cab mods.
Well, there you go. That's another one of those things where, you know, everybody wants to turn their structure, their Astra houses into like, you know, when you're in a wormhole and people were ratting with Astra houses and stuff, that's kind of cool. Like everybody wants that Upwell Salvager. You just have everything's on grid and it just sucks into the Keepstar and then the Keepstar, you know, salvages it up. There you go. I like that.
It would have been great so we could salvage Apophis's Titan that died last night.
Right? That would have been great. By the way, yet again, and I have to say, so last night, obviously, we had another one of these situations where our, you know, and I got to give the Horde guys, I'm like, the title of the thread is Shitter Down. What? Like, okay, you killed the guy's levy, but he gave you content. You got to call him names too? I don't get it. Anyway, as always, is what happens with us goons. We love to jump and set a bridge. Unfortunately, this time, Asakai did not happen as a result. It just was, you know, the loss of the levy, and Ark tried to bring a fleet out to save it. Didn't go that well, but hey, you know, goons losing large ships in dumb ways has been a story since time immemorial.
Yeah, that is a time-honored tradition.
It's what we do. The last thing I want to talk about is we've talked about the fighting back and forth between us and Horde. We've talked about the potential changes that are coming, our ideas of what may or may not be included in the NullSec rework. But in the meantime, NullSec is still the same old NullSec. And I have to say, I was a little disheartened when I saw this ping that came out from Gobbins the other day, because it tells me that we're getting the same shit over and over again, and I wish it would just stop. And so here is the ping that he sends out. It's about Horde Rentals. Everybody, Horde Rentals. They've added a system in Innsmouth. Great, I don't give a shit. We provide a system for your use where you can mine and rent and do PI and many other things. At the bottom, look at this. But wait, there's more. Horde is collaborating with tactical farmers on a new venture in Southern to open systems in impasse. They're currently taking reservations for the systems. Move in will be around May 1st. Please see the link.
Let's see, how far is Impasse from us? Because this opens up a unique opportunity. 20 jumps for free content?
Why on earth would anybody do that? First of all, why? What idiot are you going to get to rent an Impasse, which, like you said, 18 jumps away from us?
Yeah.
Who's going to do that? But secondly, tactical farmers getting into the renting game. It's not enough that PandaFam has to spend most of their time setting up half the space in the game and making it renter space. Not only do they have to do it themselves directly, whether it's their Greater Western Coast Prosperity Sphere bullshit or Brothers of Tanger or any other groups out there that are related to PandaFam. Not only is it that, they're spreading this idiocy to the small guys. Like the tactical farmers guys, those are not, that's not a big group. That's not a big sov holding group. Like, I can't imagine how are they going to defend sov?
Yeah, their ability to defend. How are they going to
defend sov?
Especially since, I mean, I know that I'll take special note of it and they'll be under constant siege. Like, that's, I wouldn't rent there.
I mean, how does it even work? Like, those guys renting, because typically in a rental situation, the big group owns the sov, the big group has the IC has the IHUPs, because in the event that they need to defend them, you want the group that has the most people in it to have the most people that are capable of going and defending and doing the Entosis work. A group like Tactical Farmers, I mean, even if Horde says, hey, we're going to come and help you out, unless Horde runs the IHUBs, then Tactical Farmers guys are going to get burnt the hell out every time we go down there and fuck with them, because they're going to have to go and defend those IHUBs on their own, and they're not going to have the ability to have anybody from the bigger groups help them. I don't get it. Like,
yeah, I mean, just looking at the Titan Kilma, which happened in Impasse, they formed 43 people. 43 men, and it 43 was...
43 people.
43 total people, three dreads, let's see. Yeah, it was 43 people, three dreads, and then 14 bar guests.
There you go. But can I ask you a question? Because you know more of this about this stuff than me. I've seen bar guest fleets out on some of these strategic timers multiple times in the last couple of months. When did this become a thing? When did the bar guest become a fleet ship?
Bar guest is an extremely oppressive ship. It's got a missile.
I love them. I wish we used them more often. The pancake is my favorite. I wish we did more.
At an alliance level, they're impossible just to. Their availability. It's not possible because of how scarce they are. Now, SIGs squads and smaller groups like Tactical Farmers, Big Abs, Snuffed Out, they can run them because they don't have to source 700 of them to outfit an initial
fleet. Fit 30 and they got a whole fleet.
So we won't ever be able to run them on an alliance level. Neither will Horde, but they can run them at SIG squad level, and they're extremely oppressive. They're high damage. They have good tank. They're very mobile. They're good ships. They're, I mean, 300 km cruise missiles or 130 kilometer rapid heavies.
Right.
So they're good ships. I wish they were more available, because running them at the alliance level would just be so much fun because of how nimble they are.
They're one of my home defense ships that I like to take out because, you know, they're fun to just, it's a pancake. It's cool looking. Looking ship.
It's my favorite looking ship in the game.
You know, like the Big Daddy Orthrus, I just appreciate all of those. Mordu's Angels ships, the Garmer and the Orthrus and the Bargus. They're just cool looking ships. They've done a good job with those, and I appreciate it. But I saw Thursday night, Big Ab, the Deepwater Hooligans guys had a fleet of bar guests, and I was like, can we please shoot them now? I want to shoot those guys now. But it's like, it's hard to justify shooting them when, you know, we were two-shotting Ferox Navies while we were in that fight.
And they're gonna, a lot of the time they're gonna be a very like long range, so you're gonna have to deal with the distance, and they are,
which was okay, we were rogues, we could hit him, we can't hit him hard, but we can hit him,
impossible to firewall, but they are extremely difficult because of the missile speed bonus, so you can't just sit there with smart bombs and nuke out half their damage. So they can sit at range, they can dump damage, and then they have a decent tank. So I mean, they're all in all, they're the ideal platform, but the only thing holding back is the availability.
Man, this makes me want to beg the procurement guys to, can you get us enough bar guests so we can have a bar guest fleet? That would be
my fun. Squad runs them.
Well, I'm sure, you know, I haven't talked to Asher or anybody, but I mean, I'm sure there's got to be some groups that's doing it. That'll be fun. So
yeah, my squad's running them, and then I know DC runs them as well.
That's awesome. Very good. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of the show. I would like to say thank you to Alterari for joining us this week. As you all know, with Mark leaving to go to CCP, we have an empty chair next to me. I'm in the process. We're gonna try out as many people as we can before we make a final decision on who's going to be our new co-host on the show. But I wanted to thank Alterari for you stepping up. I appreciate you being here. Being on the camera as well. Are you gonna put the short shorts on?
I'm not putting the short shorts on. Sorry, guys. Nope,
not happening.
You don't get the booty shorts.
Sorry. So next up, I don't know who's going to be the next guest on the show next week. Either we are going to be skipping, or it will be another Dave Archer episode. I will be out of town on work, unfortunately, for Saturday, so I will not be around. The week after, we will be back on the normal schedule. But I'm going to be doing my best to try to find new folks to try out, to put in the side seat, to get you guys a little bit different show than you've had in the past.
And if I ever come on again, I will wear a tie, whether it's got a collar shirt or not.
We gotta get you, I got to send you one. I got to send you a tie.
I'll put a bow tie on. I would rock the bow tie.
A bow tie on. And in addition, I want to say I have been in talks with Karma Fleet's own Ross July to do a meta show episode designed specifically around new players who want to join the Imperium, especially those who are coming into Karma Fleet. Things that new players may ask, the questions that they ask, the new things that they may need, how to do it, all that type of stuff, and put that out as a podcast episode. So at some point, we're going to try to put that together for you guys so that there's a show in the middle of the week with me and Ross just doing audio to talk about those types of things. And that won't be a show for everyone because a lot of you are, you know, you've been around a long time. You don't need to know how to join. But it will be something that we can point our new players to and folks who are interested that I think might be a benefit. So for those of us here at INN, thank you all for joining us. I am Brisker Ball. Join alongside Alter Ari Phoenix. This has been the Meta Show for everybody's favorite Weed Day 420 2024, which happens to be a palindrome, by the way. Also, I hope you all are enjoying yourselves. Go out there, blaze it up, have a good time, enjoy potential random drug test Monday, which is typically what they end up doing after 420 day. Just saying happy birthday to my cat. Happy birthday to my niece. And we will see you next time here for everybody's favorite and most loved, most hated Eve talk show of all time, the Meta Show. Thank you all. And you stay classy, New Eden.